Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to this special edition of the 40 Teams Fire American Soccer Show, the CONCACAF Champions League Review Show, the quarterfinal first leg review show, the 13-14 edition, as we talk about the American clubs as well as those from Mexico. In these three games, of course, and the other one, which is Arabe Unido from Panama against Alajuelense of Costa Rica, that was a 0-0 draw in the first leg. And, of course, we're going to talk about the three MLS clubs that were involved in their quarterfinal matches against the three Mexican sides that were also involved with these same quarterfinal matchups. You know, you got to say that for San Jose, they played a hell of a game. The Earthquakes looked really, really good. They were pretty strong. I thought at times that they should have had at least more than a goal in their matchup against Toluca, but unfortunately they coughed up the first goal on a very bad back pass that allowed Toluca to get the lead and get that road goal. And then all of a sudden, second half stoppage time, once again, Alan Gordon being Alan Gordon, or as the terminology has always been over with San Jose, Goonies never say die. And I am a fan of that film. I'm a big fan of that film, The Goonies. It looks like the Earthquakes continue to take that to heart, and they just absolutely should have had more than one goal scored. But you got to give credit to the goalkeeper from Toluca, who had himself a hell of a game as well, Alfredo Talavera. I mean, you know, it's one of those games where you think San Jose deserves more than just a goal. And the truth is, they really did. I mean, they pretty much played very well at home, and they should have had more than a goal. But unfortunately, when you have a guy in net keeping the goal like Talavera did, you know, it's the same thing in hockey, the old adage. You know, if you got a hot goaltender, you're going to ride him as long as you can. And Toluca rode Talavera all match long in the first leg until, unfortunately for him, when Alan Gordon came in to second half stoppage time, probably within the final minute of second half stoppage time, Alan Gordon converts it off a free kick. You know, great, great opportunities right there. Headed it off the inside of the near post and into the back of the net. And the Quakes, they have some life going into the second leg down in Mexico at Toluca. And we'll see what happens over there. Now, everyone on Wednesday night, the doubleheader, not so much a doubleheader, but everyone ranting and raving how great the games were between Sporting Kansas City and Cruz Azul. And, of course, the big-time matchup, the border war, because these two towns, Tijuana and Los Angeles, not far away at all from the U.S.-Mexico border, not far away, especially Tijuana has a lot of fans in San Diego, and San Diego is closer to the border than Los Angeles is. But, wow, both games over at Sporting Park StubHub Center were absolutely fantastic, full of energy. That's what you want to see. You want to see a game where it's full of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of fun, and you know what? Chances galore. Chances galore for all four sides, because, boy, oh, boy, I'm telling you, you know, they went for it. They were going for broke. Yeah, there were some calls that should have gone certain teams' way. Obviously, you can complain about the handball on Toluca that was not called, that should have given the Earthquakes a penalty. And on replay, you got to be fair. Cruz Azul deserved to have a penalty when Benny Feilharber handled the ball in his area before it got cleared in that second half. That should have been a handball on Benny Feilharber. Cruz Azul should have had a penalty. to attempt an equalizer, just like the Earthquakes at the time should have gotten the penalty for an equalizer at the time against Toluca. So, you know, 1-4, 1 against, if you want to go that route. But still, though, fantastic games. The action was great. I don't know if anyone caught what I was tweeting before Sporting Kansas City was taking on Cruz Azul, but jokingly, I did say that I think Cruz Azul should spot Sporting Kansas City a goal before the game starts, because Graham Zuzi did save the Mexican national team's butts getting into the World Cup with that equalizer in Panama for the national team. But, you know, I thought the Cruz Azul players, when they saw Graham Zuzi shaking hands with him, I really thought that they were going to do a little prayer in front of him, or thank him or hug him or do something interesting. And, you know what else is interesting with the teams like Club Tijuana and Cruz Azul? You have players that represent our national team or that used to play in MLS who are Americans, and they're down in Mexico playing. Found it strange in that game. We'll talk more with Mike Kuhn about it when he comes on at 8:15 Eastern, 7:15 Central. Found it interesting, Michael Farfan, not only was he not subbed into the match, but no substitutions at all by Cruz Azul. And I noticed this after the game was done, or after Wednesday was done, I went back to take a look and see what else I probably might have missed. And I did miss that. Very interesting to see. And John Jagu, who was not able to come on live tonight, he will be on with us live next week for the second leg review show for the quarterfinals next Friday. John Jagu telling us why the head coach for Cruz Azul did not make any substitutions in that first leg. So that was kind of interesting to see. But other than that, Hercules Gomez, Joe Corona for Club Tijuana, Michael Farfan for Cruz Azul. That was very interesting to see how it's not just the old faces like DeMarcus Beasley, who's down in Mexico. I think he's still with Pachuca, but I could be wrong. I'll have to double check on that. But still, though, it's finally happening. Again, more and more, you have players that are, you know, fine, you know, they're Mexican-American descent, but they're playing for the USA while playing for their clubs in Mexico. And I think that's, you know, that's just a great thing to see. And hopefully we'll have more Mexican players that would like to play in Major League Soccer. Obviously, they're probably very comfortable being home, playing for their club sides in Liga MX. But, you know, I would love to see a young player coming up from a Mexican team, a club team, and just give MLS a chance. Because I think it would be really good to see that happen. I mean, I would love to see it happen, because then, you know, it's going to be tit for tat and all those sort of things. But still, though, the sad thing, as always, it has been with the Rafa Márquez experiment, because after a season and a half of his stay with MLS and with the Red Bulls, he just didn't want to be a part of the team, I guess. So he went back to Leon, who was going to be in the 14-15 CONCACAF Champions League edition. And that's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen there. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the situation that that's been brought up here, and everything so far has been looking good for our MLS clubs right now. Big celebrations all over Twitter and the internet. Great victories. The boys, once again, for all three MLS sides, they fought hard. They did do a good job in getting the necessary result. But once again, I'm not going to go completely overboard here. Don't get me wrong. The results were there, and it's a good result. Only the Earthquakes allowed an away goal, and we'll see what's going to happen when they go down to Toluca, if they can try to get a big time result. Because here's my opinion. At the moment, this isn't about getting a win. This is about scoring as many goals as possible. The away goals rule is in play. And one goal scored by Sporting Kansas City as well as the Los Angeles Galaxy will not be enough. It will not be enough when they head down to Mexico in the return legs. I understand how some feel from within the circles of Major League Soccer. Some people feel about this, you know, with the blogs and all those sort of things. But the truth of the matter is this. The 1-0 result is not enough. Should have been 2. I know Sporting Kansas City was trying really, really hard to get 2-0. Galaxy was trying to get 2-0. The Earthquakes, unfortunately, was trying to equalize. And when they got their equalizer, it was in the final minute of second half stoppage time. But this is where, and once again, depending on where in Mexico they're going to be, it all depends on what cities, what towns these clubs play in, like Cruz Azul, like Toluca, like Club Tijuana. What is the altitude situation? If the altitude situation is going to be not too bad or terrible, it all depends on how the opposition is going to handle themselves. I understand, you know, they got to play a club match this weekend, all three teams. But the truth of the matter is this. It will all go for naught if Peter Vermes, Mark Watson, as well as Bruce Arena, they're going to kick themselves in the rear. Kick themselves in the rear, not getting a second goal. Going to kick themselves in the rear if they don't get a second goal. Either in the second leg matchup or getting a second goal in their first now, in my personal opinion, I don't feel confident. This is not saying I'm doubting Vermes, Arena, or Watson. I'm not doubting them. It's just that it's a different animal when you're heading down to Mexico and you got to face not just the crowd, the elements as well. Because, yeah, I know, the Azteca, with all the altitude and smog, it's really not that great. But the point is that they got to go against it. Even though Monterrey is probably one of those towns that does not have that extreme altitude issue. But the point is that is it enough for these clubs to make that move into the semifinals? That's the big question. And until we can get answers on that, until these sides from Major League Soccer can make an answer or have an answer for it, I'm sorry to say this, but until they defeat a Mexican side in the quarterfinals or in the semifinals, we're not going to have any answers until that moment happens. And until that moment happens, we got to be careful here. Let's not get overly confident. But I really do believe they've got a great shot to make an upset or to beat them in their own park. Got a very good show for you tonight. Of course, we're going to have Lisa Erickson on. quick rattling gold to talk about the earthquakes, Adam Serrano, the LA Galaxy Insider, and then, of course, John Jagu in a taped interview talking about those Mexican sides that faced our MLS sides. Joining me first, of course, down the byline blog on Sporting Kansas City, Mike Kuhn. Kuhny, I have to tell you that was a great performance from Sporting Kansas City. They deserve the victory. I just wish they would have gotten more than one goal.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%. A second goal always would have made me feel a little more comfortable with the return trip to Mexico. But, I mean, the game itself was just fantastic from both teams. Kansas City mainly in the first half and Cruz Azul in the second half. It was a fun game.
It really was, and I got to tell you, Kevin Ellis surprised the hell out of me when he took that shot. And I'll be honest with you. I thought Jose Corona was going to make the save, but it looks like he was caught cheating just a little bit. And Ellis just bent that ball just inside the inside the near post, and he hit pay dirt in the back of the net. That was a well-struck goal.
No, it was very well-struck. I mean, Ellis played absolutely fantastic last night. The night before, I guess, he was just solid defensively. I mean, he was probably the main concern, and what ended up happening is Cruz Azul saw it and came at him all night, and he did marvelous with them coming at him basically all night. He did a stand-up job of controlling his side and keeping Cruz Azul from really getting a really dangerous opportunity from his end of the field.
Yep, absolutely. You know, wasn't it a little weird? Obviously, the head coach for Cruz Azul is the former Mexican national team interim coach in Luis Tena. He made no substitutions against Sporting Kansas City. We didn't even see Michael Farfan, the former Philadelphia Union player. We never saw Farfan out in the field. Did you find that a little bit strange, why Tena didn't make any substitutions?
I found it a little odd that he didn't make any subs, specifically just because he used a lot of the same guys who had played against Tigres on last weekend and who I assume will be taking the field this weekend for him. So them not subbing was definitely a bit surprising in that regard, because not only do they have Tigres, and I think they actually have Tijuana this weekend, they then turn back right around and play us on Wednesday. So it's a very tight schedule for them, the same with us. And to not make any subs at all, I found really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I guess he knows something that we don't. We'll find out when that happens. I thought it was a real like we've said many, many times already, this was a fantastic matchup for the first leg with Sporting Kansas City and Cruz Azul. And as the game progressed, you know, that one moment where I thought you could have snuck in that second goal was that great shot from Graham Zuzi. It's just a shame it nailed the front of the crossbar and it popped back out, because I give Peter Vermes tons of credit. He didn't really play bunker ball. Once he got that first goal, he attacked 90 minutes plus stoppage time. He just kept on going and going. But, you know, going with Zuzi first and then talking about Vermes, that would have been a hell of a night, wouldn't it?
No, it absolutely would have been. If Zuzi's goal had gone in, that would have been just a cap on the game as a whole. I mean, it was well hit, and Zuzi himself didn't exactly have a great game up to that point. He had kind of been subpar, basically. But if that shot had gone in, it just would have been immense heading down to Mexico City. The other one was Bieler's opportunity in the first half that he turned Perea, Cruz Azul's Colombian center back, around and got a shot off, but Corona made an absolutely fantastic save on that one to keep it only 1-0.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Benny got lucky they didn't catch the handball, because his left arm did go up on that corner
absolutely.
From Azul. You're lucky you didn't lose him for the second leg. You're even lucky he didn't even get booked.
No, absolutely. I'm still semi-struggling to figure out exactly what the referee missed, because I've seen replays from, like, midfield, and the referee had a perfect line to see it. And, I mean, I understand some refs don't make the call for unless it's ball to, hand to ball, but the arm was in an unnatural position at that point, and I really don't see how you can't call it in that position. But the one thought I have is the left arm, which is the arm that it hit, basically, is, if I'm remembering correctly, is also the same one that has the darker blue on it, which mm-hmm. matches up fairly well with Kronberg's jersey. So part of me wonders if he thought it hit Kronberg's jersey just due to the color difference on our jerseys.
Right,
but
right.
I couldn't tell you, but I'm still perplexed as to how the ref didn't see it. Now, I didn't see it live. I had to ask on Twitter, as you saw, to be like, did that actually hit the hand? Because everybody was saying it, but it was just it went so quickly that I missed it entirely live. So I guess that's the other possibility, is that he just it happened so quickly that he didn't catch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe he was screened. You never know. Maybe one of the defenders screened the referee, and he probably missed it altogether. But as we keep on going here, Kenny, once again, Vermees, I got to give him credit. He attacked all night long. He didn't stay back. He didn't want to just keep a one-goal lead. He wanted to go after two. What did you see in the group from, especially Vermees, like on the bench, what did you see in his tactics that you felt that maybe a second was coming, even though it didn't do it?
Well, I think for the most part, it was just the same tactics we've always used throughout MLS, basically. I mean, Vermees isn't the type of guy that'll sit back, really, for the most part. I mean, he'll play a little bit more conservative sometimes on the road, but he's not the type of guy who will ever have his team just sit back and bunker the way good old Bunker Bob style for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, he'll still have the high pressure. It'll just be 10, 15 yards further back on the field than it is when we play at home. So, I mean, that's our style, and Vermees really isn't going to switch from it. I mean, I saw quotes after the game where Cruz Azul wasn't prepared for our style of play, our high pressure. And my comment to that was, did they not scout us at all? Because, I mean, that's the book on Kansas City, especially at home. We're going to high pressure you all day, all game, basically. And with them saying that after the game, I was shocked that he would say something like that, because talk to any MLS coach and they'll tell you Kansas City is going to press you hard at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's Tanya's own fault, because once again, I think that, you know, there are still some coaches in Mexico that do get involved when they do qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League. I think they still take this league lightly. I think they take the American League for granted. You know, they think it's going to be easier to advance. Now, obviously, we'll see what happens in the second leg, but if he wasn't expecting this high pressure at home, then, you know, you should have at least put three away.
No, we would have loved to have gotten more goals in that game. I mean, the way we were playing, but the second half, Cruz Azul they came out and they were much better in the second half, and they turned the high pressure basically against us. We had trouble getting out of our own end for long periods of the second half. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does. Well, next week, your guys are heading down to the Estadio Azul to take on Cruz Azul for the second leg in this quarterfinal tie. You know that you didn't allow a road goal, but now you have an opportunity to get one yourself. So what does Kansas City need to do here to upset Cruz Azul? Does Vermees remain with the high-pressure tactics on the road, or do you think you steal one, you bunker all game long?
I think he'll still high pressure, not as much. I mean, the way that he has KC high pressure is not a 90-minute tactic in Mexico City at that elevation with all the extracurriculars that are involved with Mexico City, including the smog and just the elevation. So the tactic of doing that the full 90 minutes is a little foolish, in my opinion, if we were to go in and do that, because that's just asking for Cruz Azul to just sit back, absorb the pressure again, and then around the 60th minute when we're gassed from playing at 7,000 feet or whatever it is, hit us on the counter hard and put in three goals in the final 30 minutes, basically. So I think Vermes is going to have to play it a little bit tighter, a little bit looser. He'll still have the high pressure. I just think he's going to he'll probably have it broken up. We won't constantly be high pressure. We'll high pressure for a little bit. We'll step back. We'll absorb pressure. We'll then high pressure again and step back. And we'll try to hit him on the counter. I wouldn't be surprised to actually see Dwyer start this one for a little bit of extra pace up top. But throwing either one of our forwards up there basically at this point, it's going to be a Lone Ranger type thing where they're probably going to be doing a lot of stuff on their own in Mexico City.
Absolutely. Kronberg, how do you think he fared in this one? I mean, obviously there was a lot of questions after Nielsen retired. What is Kronberg going to do? Let's be honest. I mean, I know MLS Cup and MLS Cup playoffs are high pressured, and so are Open Cup games are high pressure. But this is more than double the pressure. Did you like what Kronberg did in net for you guys in the first leg?
For the most part, I did. I thought he handled himself well. He controlled his box. He did a lot of things that Nielsen doesn't do, and specifically coming off his line and claiming the ball. I mean, we talked about that last year where that's one thing Nielsen never really did was come off his line to claim the ball on corners, on free kicks. That's one thing that Kronberg does much better than Nielsen did. So I thought he did well in that regard. The only part that I really kind of second-guessed him a bit on is when Pavone got in behind the defense and Kronberg ended up pushing him wide, Michael Parra made the save on the line. I felt that Kronberg overcommitted to it a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yes,
overcommitted, coming out almost too far on that, and allowed him to get around him a little bit easier than I would have liked. But he also took a better angle than basically a similar thing happened in our preseason game against the Crew down in Orlando, and he took a really poor angle on that one, and it allowed the Crew player to just continue his stride around him and put it in the net. This time, Kronberg took a better angle, cut it down, and forced Pavone to change his run a little bit, which allowed Opara enough time to recover and clear it off the line. So, I mean, he did a better job than he did in preseason, but I still would have liked a little bit less bum rush, for lack of a better term. He just seemed to overcommit to it.
No, absolutely. I don't blame you at all. All right, CUNY, good luck next week, shall I say this coming Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central on Fox Sports 2. Cruz Azul will be hosting Sporting Kansas City in the second leg of the quarterfinals. Good luck on your home match, your opener at Sporting Park with FC Dallas this coming Saturday night, and I'll talk to you next Friday, CUNY. Take care.
Sounds good. Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. It's Mike Kuhn from Down the Byline, Sporting Kansas City blog, as we get ready to see what's going to happen this coming week. Once again, it's this coming Wednesday night on Fox Sports 2. Check your local listings for your channel for when the game will be on, and hopefully we'll see what happens when the boys over in Kansas City in the Midwest, they find a way to get a big, big victory, if possible, against Cruz Azul over at the Estadio Azul in Mexico City. Another game that was pretty big and it was billed as one of the top games in this quarterfinal matchup here in the CONCACAF Champions League in the first leg, Los Angeles Galaxy against Club Tijuana, as these two sides on the border for a big time game between these two sides. And the gentleman that viewed this game over at the StubHub Center is Mr. Adam Serrano, the LA Galaxy insider. Adam, that first game between Sporting Kansas City and Cruz Azul was full of fireworks. This one added it even more. Great matchup, and you get a 1-0 victory against probably one of the tougher teams in Liga MX right now.
Yeah, it was a good game between two very even clubs. I don't know if I would call Tijuana one of the better clubs in Liga MX, but they are a very talented team, as evidenced by their performance. But, the Galaxy got what they needed. They smash and grab, so to speak, because they got the goal early from Samuel, who took advantage of a little quote-unquote deflection off Robbie Keane and smashed it home, and then they held on for dear life at the end, the second half, when TJ really had all of the game. So it really sets up a very interesting game down there at Estadio Caliente. The Galaxy really seem to feel like if they get a goal down there in TJ, they're in good straits to advance to the semifinals for the second straight year.
Absolutely. If I can just say this, not so much just being critical, but did you feel the Galaxy should have at least had a second goal at home to try and put a little more pressure on Tijuana when you go down there for the second leg?
I mean, it's nice to get a goal, but it's tough to have the opportunity, and they really didn't have that many chances. They really came at something of a premium there towards the end. So, and it would be great to have it, but I think there weren't that many chances for them to get at the end. So I think it was a pretty fair result.
Yeah, I agree. But I will say this, though. Jaime Pinedo, national team keeper for Panama, my God, how he made all those saves. And I'll be honest with you, I thought there was going to be maybe one or two chances Tijuana was going to equalize, but Pinedo right there. Obviously a lot better keeper and a lot younger than Carlo Cudicini was last year for the Galaxy. Pinedo made some fantastic diving right paw saves, left paw saves. I mean, he was just all over the ball, fantastic keeping. A clinic by Pinedo.
Yeah, it was a very good, he was only given two saves on the night. A couple of those saves were offside, which really speaks to how well the Galaxy's defense played. They were able to really play that midfield trap, keep them under wraps, and force TJ to make some bad decisions. And I think that's what you saw there. I think that's what they're going to need getting down into Tijuana. It's going to need to be another smart game. But, Jaime Pinedo said after the game that, it was all for appearances. It was all to show them that I make the saves, as valuable as actually making the saves. So he's trying to play a little bit of mind games with those Tijuana attackers, and that can only help the Galaxy.
Absolutely. Did you sense some frustration from Tijuana? Because I know the Galaxy had a high line on most of the free kicks by Tijuana, but it looked like some of the players were intentionally in a passive offside position, and when some of the free kicks were delivered, the flag went up right away, and it looked like Tijuana players intentionally put themselves offside.
Yeah, it was a little bit strange. There were a few plays where you could sense that passive offside, and you saw it a few times. I think I can remember one time off a dangerous free kick where Jaime Naviobi was offside, and I was just looking at him the entire time, wondering, what is he doing? Why can't he just get in the onside position, be just holding offside? I think that was one of the plays where they actually called Pinedo into action. So it was a strange way to play that game, and I think that, their head coach, Cesar Ferias, is going to need to go back to the drawing board, because it was a very poor performance from this team offensively in the first half. And they really didn't seem to get anything going until they had the pairing of Dario Benedetto and Hercules Gomez up top. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him go with those two and start then in the second leg down in TJ.
Speaking about Hercules Gomez, obviously he subbed into this match late in the match. He came in the 80th minute. My God, Were you getting nervous? Because we know how Hercules has been doing scoring goals for, at the time, Santos Laguna against Houston, against Seattle. You know, any time he's on the field against any MLS teams in these CONCACAF Champions League knockout stages, he scares the crap out of you. And was there a feeling all over StubHub Center that possibly that he could be scoring a goal, because he almost did?
Yeah, I mean, you knew that he would get on the end of a chance. You know, that's just what he does, and it's what he does so well. I think that, you know, he is a very talented forward, but I think I was more questioning the decision why Ferias left off Dario Benedetto, who has been in form for TJ in league play, and he said he was dealing with a little bit of an Achilles knock that kind of kept him under wraps, so that's an issue there. But I think Tijuana really didn't start this game off very well, and I think that hurt them, because I think getting an away goal is very important in this tournament. And this Galaxy team feels like they can score on the road. And when you have players like a Robbie Keane, like a Landon Donovan, who can strike at a moment's notice, especially considering all the space that they had, I think that they feel like they are going to get the chances to win this game. So, you know, Hercules put in a very solid 10-minute shift, almost got a goal, went just wide. It was a very poor yellow card by him, a very obvious dive, which was a little surprising. But, you know, that's just part of the way the games go, and I think that Hercules will be amped up and hoping to play in the second leg.
Yeah, absolutely. Landon Donovan looked really good. Movement with the ball and off the ball looked fantastic. I thought his delivery of the corners in the middle, all Omar, if he would have headed that ball a little bit lower, maybe it wouldn't have hit the crossbar, but that looked like 2-0 there. I thought Landon Donovan had a fantastic game on the ball and off the ball.
Yeah, you know, Landon was pretty strong. I think that where they needed to be a little better was just in the link-up play going up top, so there wasn't really that type of connection that you want to see going forward. But, you know, you can't feel like Robbie Keane, Landon Donovan won't be held off the board again. So I think I would say it right now that I think they're going to get a goal down there in Tijuana, whether it's the decider, whether it's going to help them advance. I think that they will definitely get that goal and see if they can get through.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a little bit of a problem with Robbie Keane, actually. This is before the goal was scored in the 11th minute by Samuel Goncalves. I know he wants the ball, and I understand, you know, he's a world-class player, Republic of Ireland national team guy. But when the ball didn't go his way, I saw him complain to his teammate, and I felt, you know, it's an important first leg. You know, instead of berating your teammate, go and help him trying to win the ball back. I felt that was kind of the wrong thing to do. I know it's early in the match, but still, I felt he should have tried to help his teammate instead of berating him right there. Like, the ball should have been here for me. I don't know how you feel about that, but I thought that was the wrong thing to do. I mean, it's a little nitpicking, but I thought that was the only negative that I saw.
Yeah, you know, that's just kind of the way that Keane plays, and it's kind of the way that Keane's always played. He's a very demonstrative person in general, so I think that his teammates know that. I think that a lot of it is made on the outside, but, you know, it's not really an issue internally. I think that it's pretty much well-known, well-thought-out. They understand why he's doing this, and I think that it's not really much of an issue internally, so I don't really take much of it when I look at it and see it happen. It's just kind of, you know, that's just Keane being Keane.
No, that's fine. I mean, look, if they don't have an issue with it, I won't continue with it, but I really thought at the time it was just the wrong thing to do. But like you said already, you know, the team already knows that, you know, he's a gamer, he wants the ball, and that's fine, and I understand where they're coming from. So if they don't have an issue with it, I'll end my issue with it right there. But as we already know, it's going to be an interesting night this coming Tuesday, as the Galaxy will be heading down to Estadio Caliente. You can watch the game all as well on Fox Sports 2. What does the Galaxy, like you said before, probably, but say it again, you know, they probably need an away goal. They need to put pressure. But what more should the Galaxy try to do when they go down to take on Club Tijuana in their building?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just about being smart. as you can see in that first half, Tijuana concedes a considerable amount of space. And I think that that's where you're going to have to, you're going to see TJ really put the pressure on the Galaxy from the opening whistle. I think the first 15 minutes are going to be huge. You're going to have to try to hold them at bay, try to keep them at arm's length as they look to kind of get that first goal and then try to pack on some more. And, you know, this is a team we're talking about has not lost a game at home in CONCACAF or Copa Libertadores. In league play, they're unbeaten in 18 of their last 19 games. So it's a very, it's a fortress. It, pure and simple, it's a fortress. It's Estadio Caliente. But what you see from Tijuana is that they give up a considerable amount of space in the back. When you have players like an Edgar Castillo who likes to play up forward, you know, he didn't play in that first leg, but I'd expect him to play in the second leg. When you see a Greg Garza press up, you know, there's a lot of space. And that's what led to the goal by Samuel, is that there was Robbie Keane alone in on in the 18-yard box. He was able to knock down a ball for Samuel and who just kind of smashed it in. And that kind of space is something the Galaxy can exploit because this is a very good counterattacking team. So I think that you're going to see the Galaxy wait, try to hold as much as they can. They're going to be defending like crazy, but I think that they can hit them back on the counter, and that's where you can start to see these away goals come. And I wouldn't tell you this right now, Daniel. I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe a guy like Rob Friend put in this game, you know, because he can be kind of physical. He can play. He can bash around with players like Gandolfi, which is something that TJ really hasn't dealt with in Liga MX. He doesn't really the style of play there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that a little more defensive kind of style played. And I think that if they can hold and if they can hit them back on the counterattack, I think it's the Galaxy team that can certainly score some goals there and win this tie.
Let me ask you this question, because I talked with Mike Kuhn over in Kansas City down the byline, because he told me earlier that Kenya said they weren't prepared for Kansas City's high pressure or how Kansas City plays. Do you think maybe Cesar Farias also took the Galaxy for granted in the first half?
No, no, no chance. I think that they knew that their Galaxy were going to be an organized team. You know, throughout this CONCACAF Champions League build-up, you know, TJ has kind of built themselves as something of an underdog going up against the Galaxy because they didn't have the three DPs of E and Donovan Gonzalez thing, that they were more of a working-class team. And I think that they understand, you know, Farias was actually at the game when Real Salt Lake defeated the Galaxy last weekend, so they had a fairly good idea of the way they play, and they knew they were an organized team. So I don't think that that was really an issue on this end. You know, it might have been down at Sporting, but I think this is a TJ team. Due to the proximity of these two clubs, I don't think that was going to be an issue. There was not going to be anything there was not going to be no surprises.
I agree with you there. All right, so listen, good luck. I know they got the weekend off, so good luck on Tuesday night down in Club 2. Are you making the trip? I guess not. So that's okay. I guess he will not be making the trip. Or probably he will be, but we don't know. But that's Adam Serrano. That is the LA Galaxy Insider, as we discuss what's going to happen with the Galaxy down in Club Tijuana. And joining us now, the woman who has a brand new look. She looks really good with the hair. And she really looks like she's ready to knock them dead out on downtown San Jose. It is the one and only Lisa Erickson of both Quake, Rattle, and Goal, as well as Centerline Soccer. Good evening, Miss Erickson, and how are you?
I am very well. It's a very beautiful, sunny Friday night, about 70 degrees outside, and tomorrow's supposed to hit 80.
Yeah, you see, I'm not playing the weather game with you, okay? You can't, look, I give you this great introduction, and you got to kill me with the weather game. You got to stop this. Come on. This is what I get.
Come on. What more do I have to give except for weather updates over here in California?
I know. Well, one thing I can give you is that I thought the Quakes really played a strong game. One bad blunder gives Toluca a road goal, but as always, using a terminology from my favorite movie, Goonies Never Say Die, and Alan Gordon comes up big with the equalizer. Before the goal, both goals were converted, how did you feel the Earthquakes played in this game? Because I thought they showed a lot more than what Toluca thought they were going to get.
Yeah. So basically, I was really impressed with the Quakes because I've watched them throughout the preseason, and they really struggled, to say the least. And so to see the cohesiveness of them and see some amazing performances by guys that I didn't expect, such as Jason Hernandez, the center back. You know, he's a secondary. He used to be a first team player for the Quakes a few years ago, but with Clarence Goodson and Victor Bernardes, he got, you know, put down the line, and he was just rocking it. I mean, his header clearances, everything was really impressive. And the other one who really shone for me that last year struggled a lot in my eyes was Cordell Cato. You know, you could really tell a difference when he was subbed off and they put in Atiba Harris. Atiba Harris really did not do what Cordell Cato did, and I was really surprised because I thought the senior player, the Harris, would, you know, have more cohesiveness, have be better on the ball, be more lively, and he just looked so pale compared to the work that Cato put in for those first 86 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Lenhart up top with Wando, they both looked fantastic together. I really thought that they're going to find a way to score, I thought, within regulation in both halves. But I think you got to give credit to Alfredo Talavera from Toluca. He made some. I mean, I know you watch the Sharks. I know you're a hockey fan like I am, and you're a San Jose Sharks fan. I mean, who's your goalie again? It's the former Blackhawk goalie.
Was Antonini, and then the new one that got slashed.
Niemi or no?
Antonini is the normal starter, but right now he's being replaced by some other guy.
Okay, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, he's making saves like a hockey goalie. I mean, Talavera just absolutely found ways, even on his back, to just stop the Quakes from converting, even though he had defensive help. But still, that was probably the most frustrating thing all night long, not just for you, but for everyone watching the game.
Yeah, it should have been like 6-1 by the final score. I literally did not know what Talavera put around his net to make sure that that ball would not go in. I'm like, is there a force field? What the heck? To the point where it just got so frustrating. I'm like, we're never going to score. I mean, I've been with the Quakes since 2008. I've seen the Goonie. I've seen that. And even I got disheartened. I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm out of here. And luckily, I didn't leave too early, but I actually did get to see the goal, but wasn't from my seat, I'll tell you that much. Because I was just like, you know, it was so frustrating because the Quakes really did. They gave up that away goal, but, I mean, that was a beautiful goal. You have to give them credit.
Absolutely.
That, you know, Neva just hit it perfectly, and, you know, there was nothing John Bush could have done. And, yeah, Bernardes was out of position a little bit and let him have that space. But other than that mistake, it really was a great Quakes game. I was very, very surprised, happily so. And I'm hoping MLS teams are going to stand up and take notice of what went down there because this is not your 2013 Quakes team.
Nope, absolutely not. I thought the Earthquakes, they played strong. I thought they did well. I mean, everything was going the right way. But we also have to mention Toluca. Mm-hmm. I thought got away with a handball in the first half.
They did.
I thought they got away with a handball. I thought the Quakes should have had a penalty. Nothing was called, unfortunately. And, of course, you know, Cruz Azul should have had a penalty against Sporting Kansas City, but, you know, there was no call there either. So tit for tat,
yeah.
I guess, in that certain way. But, yeah, I thought the Quakes should have gotten a penalty against Toluca. I don't know what was going to happen there, but unfortunately, that's the break sometimes.
Yeah, and it is. And you know, Toluca's an amazing team, and but they were diving so much. I mean, at some points, I loved how many times they tried to get the stretcher on the pitch, and then the guy would just jump up. And you're like, really? Really? what the heck? I mean,
yeah,
here you have Bloody Linhart again with his head having to be wrapped. But no, they're all acting on the ground like they're dying. I'm like, really, just grow up. But, any, you know, you use what you got. So.
But yeah, absolutely.
It was an amazing night. I was more surprised. So one of the things I really liked was Mark Watson's tactics of substitution. That once they went down that goal, they got, you know, they replaced Sam Cronin with Alan Gorin to have the three forwards up. Then they got rid of Jason Hernandez, to make it a 3-4-4 or 3-4-3, you know, because they replaced the center back with a midfielder and then just made it, you know, more attacking, and that's what paid off, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Watson wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid to take out, you know, a defender and perhaps give away another away goal. He was, you know what, let's go for this and let's do it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And they did it, and they got that great shot, that great header off the free kick. Alan Gorin heads it inside the near post and goes into the back of the net, finally beating Talavera and getting that big goal to make it 1-1, even though it's 1-0 on away goals for Toluca. This is going to be probably, and you know, I don't want to knock the Earthquakes. I want them to try and get that big time victory to get into the semifinals if they can. I have to say, I want to be honest with you here, Lisa. I really think Toluca is too strong for the Quakes.
Yeah.
But once again, they got to prove it for another 90 minutes. They got to prove it for another 90 minutes on the field at their stadium. And you're going to be heading down at the Estadio Nemesio Diaz Stadium at Toluca. How do you think Mark Watson's going to play this one? Because obviously he needs a goal. He can't bunker in. He needs a goal really badly to level the away goals, but to take a lead on the aggregate.
Yeah. Well, I really hope. I mean, I'm sure he'll put out all his starters again and just really go for it. But you know, I really. We're sandwiching in between two MLS games. It's high altitude. It's against a really tough team in a foreign place. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see it happening. Am I sad? I would love for them to continue, but at the same time, I want them to bring home another MLS Cup. So I'm very fine if, you know, they had their day in the Champions League for this season, and now they just need to figure out how to get back into it for the 2015 season is how I'm playing it. But,
maybe
no,
so.
I really...
mm-hmm. But maybe so. But no, maybe so. But still, though, I mean, this would be a big feather in the cap for Mark Watson and the Quakes if they can find a way to upset Toluca. I mean, like you said before, the altitude where they are, it's extremely bad. You don't know how they're going to handle themselves. And that game will be on Wednesday night, March 19th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can watch that on Univision Deportes. Check your local listings for the channel number where you are. If you have Cablevision here in New York, it's Optimum. It's 775. I don't know what you have over in San Jose, Lisa, but obviously you know where to watch it. Where is everyone going to watch the game? Are you going to go join the rest of the guys at a local bar? Are you going to watch it at home in the confines of your apartment?
You're saying that where is it being played at? If it's anything like what showed for the Quakes versus Toluca, there's no channels here that have it.
Oh, really? You don't get the Univision Deportes channel?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
So we don't get Fox Sports 2 or Univision report this.
Oh,
so
wow.
We can
wow.
watch it from illegal feeds. Yeah. I know.
No,
I didn't say that. I said you can only
don't.
Watch it for in San Jose that way. I didn't say I would. I'm not supporting that on my radio or even replayed, but no.
I did
Comcast
not hear a thing. I did
yeah.
not hear a single word. I couldn't hear that. What was? I got some feedback here. I missed that part, but that's okay. But
I'm glad. Oh. But the one exciting thing is hopefully our new guy from Benfica, Yannick Dejalo, comes
uh-huh.
and is ready to play. So that's my hope, because he's going to be a speedster. He's a mixture of the Quakes old Simon Dawkin with Marvin Chavez, all wrapped up into one bundle of small joy and speed.
Right.
So that's what
right.
I'm looking at. So if he is actually gets his visa and gets back into the country and can get to Mexico, then I think the Quakes
there
will have
go.
Even more.
There you go. How'd you like your new guy who played? Jean Baptiste Peraza, how'd you enjoy him playing?
I was very excited to see him. I think he did a really well job. And, you know, because I was very nervous with all the Quakes moves in the off season and getting rid of some key players. But, no, I'm really glad that, we have an entire United Nations in the San Jose Earthquakes now with, you know, we got our Brit on the back line with our Honduran, and then you got the Frenchman, the German, and now the Portuguese. So
mm-hmm.
let's go fight, fight, fight.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go around the world, aren't you?
We are. UEFA is us.
Well, he's a Corsican, so that's even double big news.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Does he have a twin?
Of course it's part of
Does France. He have a twin?
I don't know. I don't know who all
has
twins anymore.
That's okay.
We'll see.
But anyway. Yes, it is. So anyway, congratulations. Solid draw. Got to go and try and make an upset if possible. Try and pull an away goal to level it. But
mm-hmm.
I will say this. I will be pulling for them to see if they will beat Toluca. If not, look, they gave it their best. That's all I can ask for. And then you worry more about what's going on in the league and the Open Cup.
Exactly, and that's
exactly.
what I hope. Real Salt Lake on Saturday, baby. Let's
there
bring down
go.
Nick Cavanto.
There you go.
Anyway.
That's what I'm talking
but
about.
But as I said, it was a great game. I'm glad that they played well. I was sad that most of the stands was full of Toluca fans. But it was really great. So you can't ask
no,
for
a
better No,
it's fantastic to hear. Absolutely. So listen, you have a good night. I'll talk to you soon. And I will definitely chat some more with you about your new hairdo.
Thanks. I'm glad you like it.
I do. You, yep. To be honest with you, I didn't even recognize you.
Really?
I'm like, who is this? I didn't recognize you at first. We're Facebook friends. She posted her new hair look, her new hairdo on Facebook. And I'm like, who is this person I saw? That's Lisa? No. didn't even recognize you until, you know, because I'm so used to seeing you with, like, curlier hair.
Yep.
And you straightened it, and I just couldn't, I couldn't tell. You look good, though. You really do.
Why, thank you. I appreciate all the nice compliments. And now
You're
you can
welcome.
See the throwback Thursday. I put my senior photo on there.
Uh-oh.
Oh, make everyone want to be a Facebook friend of mine.
Gotta run and hide, don't you now? No, I'm kidding.
Anyway,
well,
have a good one,
just,
and thank you for having me on.
Thank
your show.
You too, and all these compliments. The check better be in the mail, my dear.
Yeah.
Have a good night, Lisa. Take care.
Bye, Daniel. Thanks.
All right, bye bye, Lisa Erickson from Centerline Soccer, as well as Quake Rowell and Goal SB Nation. Talking about the Earthquakes. We'll see what happens. I also want to compliment StubHub Center. because obviously the stadium is on the University of California, Carson. They were able to sell out, or at least sell seats on the other side of the field. Good for them. Usually on school nights, they try to save everything for the campus college students that attend. And then, of course, sell out at Sporting Park for this first leg game. Congratulations to Sporting Kansas City on the sellout at home. Also great job with Buckshaw. It looked full. Good job there as well. Excuse me. My next guest, of course, once again, he could not come on live tonight. We taped the segment. He'll be joining us next week for the second leg review show. My good friend John Jagu covers the Liga MX teams down in Mexico as well as the Mexican national team. His opinions on the opposition against the MLS teams in this quarterfinal first leg of the CONCACAF Champions League 2013-14 edition.
And this is, once again, the CONCACAF Champions League first leg quarterfinal review show, covering the Mexican teams down in Liga MX. Of course, it's John Jagu from Big Soccer. John, how are you? And very, very interesting night for both the Liga MX and MLS teams in the quarterfinals this past week.
Yeah, good evening, Daniel. Yeah, it was very entertaining games, good crowds at both places, and I think the MLS folks would have wanted to have a few more goals than just having a one-goal lead for two of the games heading down to Mexico. And, of course, Toluca, I think, with their away goal and the home field advantage that they're going to have, I think that San Jose is going to have of the three games, probably have the most difficult time in order for them to advance.
Absolutely, I agree with you there. I think Toluca will defeat San Jose down at their stadium next week in the second leg. But let's go what happened over at Sporting Park in Kansas City, Kansas. Sporting Kansas City takes a 1-0 lead on the advantage of a Kevin Ellis goal in the 17th minute where, it looked like a great shot, and I thought actually the keeper was going to make a save, but he just missed it, or he was caught cheating a little bit. But other than that, I thought this was probably one of the better matches throughout the three games between the MLS teams versus the Liga MX sides.
No, it was really entertaining. I think Kansas City, they got what they were hoping for, which was an early goal, and then as the game progressed, they were started to wrestle possession away from them on a more regular basis. I think that they kind of hung on there to maintain the lead. Cruz Azul is a team that's been having a really good season in Mexico. They actually just lost their first match of the season over the weekend. Against Tigres and Monterrey, so they really pretty much already solidified a playoff spot for the Liga MX playoffs. So I think that they're really concentrating on the lineup that they had on the field at Sporting Park. Showed that they're going to take this tournament seriously. And they're going to try and win it. I think they were a little unlucky with. There about the 55th minute, there was a corner kick on which it looked like they were very close to scoring. It turned out that the Kansas City defender had a handball in there, and the ref didn't see it, and which would be a straight red and a penalty, and that would have put Kansas City down to 10 men. But if those things happen, that's just the way that that this sport is. So I think that now that Cruz Azul has to go back and play Sporting Kansas City and Mexico City. I'm hoping that the crowd will be somewhat decent. Cruz Azul has a history of not necessarily filling up stadiums, especially at this tournament. I think it'll be a little different this time. A lot of MLS teams have gone down with a goal advantage against teams like Cruz Azul, and they haven't had much luck winning in Mexico. So I think that if Cruz Azul can get the early goal, just like Kansas City did, I think that they'll probably have a real good chance of advancing. Obviously, if Kansas City scores, then Cruz Azul is going to have to score three. I think it's going to make that goal a little hard to do that. I don't anticipate that happening per se, but again, stranger things happen. But from the looks of things, I think that, with Cruz Azul playing, two guys that hadn't been playing for about a month or so yesterday, playing in Mexico City, playing up at the altitude, I think it's going to be a little hard for Kansas City, especially in the second half. So I think that if Chris Sewell can manage to equalize the tie in the first half, I think that they'll probably win in the second half going away.
Luis Tenya is the head coach of Cruz Azul, and, you know, I just noticed this now, actually, John. He made no substitutions in this match. He made nothing. He kept the same starting 11 out there. There was no changes at all in the second half by Tenya. Does that sound a little strange to you?
Not really. I mean, he was given a couple of guys that had just come back from injury, probably trying to get into match shape, and in a turn like this and in a first leg, I think as long as, the lead by Sporting Kansas City I'm sure in his mind it's still about very manageable leads. So it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, Fena is, he's a bad guy that's been around forever. He was the coach that led Mexico to the gold medal at the Olympics. He usually has a really good pulse on his team. So it doesn't surprise me at all they didn't make any substitutions. Obviously it would have been nice to have a couple of guys in, but Chris Sewell had their chances, and in Sporting Kansas City they're turning away. So whether Sporting Kansas City can maintain that in Mexico City obviously is going to be a different story altogether. And I think that, like I said, if Cruz Azul can get that goal early in the first half, and I think that the pressure that they'll put on Sporting Kansas City is something that I don't know if Kansas City will be able to handle. I fully expect Cruz Azul to win that in the second half going away, just as most of the Mexican teams do, even if they have a deficit. Going into the second legs and they're playing at home, we've seen it, over the past 4 years when we discuss these, they just bring up a whole bunch of goals sometimes. It seems like, I don't think Cruz Azul is going to do that, but the chances of that happening are a lot higher than Sporting Kansas City winning this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, and we'll see what happens in next week when the second leg happens with these two teams. Of course, another I thought a great match last night as well, of course, when the LA Galaxy hosted Club Tijuana, and another early goal was scored here for the Galaxy, Samuel Goncalves in the 11th minute, and that was it. And, I give Tijuana tons of credit for not giving up. They kept on attacking and attacking and attacking. I mean, even those late chances from Hercules Gomez, the known MLS killer, I mean, he almost puts one away for Tijuana to get that away goal, but it doesn't happen. But still, Club Tijuana, I think this is going to be a hell of a second leg next week, John. But I'll say this. I thought this was also another fantastic match for both sides.
Yeah, no, that was definitely entertaining. It has the makings of what we hope is going to be a really good regional rivalry. I mean, I was kind of hoping that they would play the second leg in San Diego, because I think that since Tijuana has so many fans in San Diego, and let's face it, San Diego people aren't the biggest LA fans anyway, that I think it would have been a really interesting dynamic to play that game at Qualcomm, which is about twice the size of the Caliente down at Tijuana. So obviously it's not going to happen, but it would have been really fun to see. But of all three of the ties between the three leagues, I think that this is the one where I think MLS has the best chance of advancing. I don't necessarily think that that Tijuana, I mean, they're certainly not nearly as strong as either Cruz Azul or Toluca, and obviously the Galaxy is one of MLS's better teams and has been for the better part of the last decade. So I think that the Galaxy do have a real strong chance of advancing. Tijuana, it's weird because I know Tijuana is a big guy max, but they have so few Mexicans that it's hard for me to even consider them a big guy max team, because they, most of the time, with all the foreigners they have and all the guys that are, they may be, officially Mexicans, but are obviously playing on the U.S. national team. I think that they feel like maybe one or two Mexicans total. So it's kind of a weird team, and I think that because of that reason, I think that especially fans inside of Tijuana, they kind of look at the Tijuana team and go, what kind of team is this? Because there's certainly a lot of folks look at them and say, well, that's not really they have a lot more foreigners than they have Mexicans. So it's just kind of a weird dynamic there.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously you got Joe Corona on this team. I thought he played very well for Tijuana. He consistently attacked very well. And once again, Hercules Gomez is subbed in the 80th minute. Wow. Once again, it just looked like the Galaxy were just trying to hold on for that one goal advantage. And I mean, you know, I'm not trying to downplay what Tijuana did, obviously. I thought that they could have at least had one or two goals. I thought they probably should have had maybe two away goals in this match. But the Panamanian international, Pinedo, played such a great game in net for the Galaxy to keep that one goal advantage.
Yeah, they did. He definitely kept LA. LA in the match by, like you said, a couple of really good saves. That's one thing that I think that maybe the MLS side, if they're going to learn anything about playing these ties, is that you can't, get your goal and hang on for dear life and hoping that the other team doesn't come score, because the other teams obviously are going to attack, and I would love to see BM. I mean, I know it's going to happen next week. I know that the three MLS sides are going to go to Mexico and they're going to have their defensive shell on, and hope that they might be able to squeeze in another counterattack. And I just think that I guess that tactic can work, but the Mexican teams have proven that you just because you're on the road doesn't mean you can't attack.
Exactly.
Granted, you may not score, but by all means, there's no reason why you can't be a little bit more offensive with your tactics. Obviously, I'm not expecting that at all, but I think that the Mexican teams have proven that it can be done, and there's no reason to think that the MLS can't do that as well.
The one thing I noticed in some of these set pieces that Tijuana had in the second half against the Galaxy, the passive offsides that I saw from a few Tijuana players before even the free kick came off, to me it looked like that was a negative on Tijuana, because I didn't understand why they kept on being offside every single chance they had when the free kick was very close to LA's area.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was a coach's decision or if the players are just being lazy. And not getting back, maybe they were just trying to catch. Their coach, he's a real wiry guy, Fadias.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all if say, hey, you know what? Why don't y'all a couple guys stay on offsides, see if you can catch the defender napping, thinking that the flag is going to go up and we'll get a cheap one. That wouldn't surprise me at all, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll see. Well, we'll see what happens in that second leg. Of course, Toluca going up to San Jose to take on the Earthquakes, and that ended in a 1-1 draw. Toluca got the away goal first and then a late goal from Alan Gordon. But I have to say that was a hell of a shot by Raul Nava Lopez in the 67th minute. I'm telling you, it was an easy giveaway, but that was a hell of a shot by Lopez, and he beats John Bush for that goal.
Nava, he's one of those guys that is a young guy who, he's kind of he's a real tall guy, so you wouldn't expect him to have that kind of ability with his feet. He's one of those guys that I always saw a lot of folks in Mexico, I've been waiting for him to kind of start blowing up, because we only long thought that he could be the next, next in the line of a good Mexican striker, but he just can't seem to get off the bench. At Toluca, and of course, Toluca, they do such a great job of bringing in foreign strikers, starting with their head coach, Cardoso, who was, one of the all-time great forwards in Mexican soccer. And, because they have the guy Velasquez. I saw Toluca, it looked like they were very complacent. I don't really think that they really did all that much.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like they were kind of playing, kind of not to lose, and of course, San Jose got their customary stoppage time goal that they seem to have gotten a trademark on, at least in MLS. But I think that Toluca is, they're right there with Cruz Azul. They're 1-2 in the league. They're a really strong team. They're very well coached. It wouldn't I mean, I think that of all three of the ties, I think that this is going to be the one that's probably going to have the most scandalous scoreline when it's all said and done. And the Toulouse is just is too strong a team, and they play in a stadium that is a very intimate stadium. It's been around forever. It's kind of patterned after the Bombonera in Argentina and Buenos Aires. They call it the Bombonera there, and it's, you know, it's also the under the McGinn, the half word is hell. Because it's a really hard place to play, you know,
wow.
In addition to the fact that the Toluca are the Devils. And on top of everything else, its altitude is actually higher than that of Mexico City.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's a really hard place to play. And Toluca, you know, Toluca and Cruz Azul both. I mean, they have just a massive amount of tradition. Toluca's won, I want to say it's either 10 or 11 championships in the league, so this is something that they would love to get their hands on. So I fully expect them to come out guns blazing. They have a great goalkeeping, they have good defending, they have a fantastic midfield, and their front line is really good, and they have that kid, San Jose-born Isaac Rizuela, who looks like he's on his way to earning a spot on the World Cup team. So Toluca's strong, and I think that that San Jose is going to have a really hard time with them. And like I said, I hope that for San Jose's sake that it doesn't end up being too much of an ugly score. I don't think it will, because I think that the coach is too classy for that. But you never know. I mean, out of the three, I think that the Toluca has the biggest chance of advancing. I think they'll probably advance without any problem.
Yeah, very true there. I want to talk about Talavera for Toluca. What a night he had. I mean, I know Gordon got lucky. He nailed that free kick off his header off the inside of the near post and in, but I have to give credit to Alfredo Talavera in goal. He made saves I never thought a keeper would ever make. I mean, I know he got help at times from his defense, but wow. On his back, and he still makes a way to make a save off a hell of a shot point blank. A couple of times, he was just unbelievable, crazy stuff.
Well, you know, that's why he's on the short list for to be on the World Cup team. I mean, he's done a really good job with that. He's really kind of come into his own as a goalkeeper. I mean, he replaced a veritable legend in Cristante, who was just an Argentine goalkeeper who played Mexico for well over 10 years. And he's done a really good job. He's become a quality goalkeeper. I mean, goalkeeping in Mexico, I mean, there's four guys that are really good, and it's going to be really hard to see one of those guys is going to be left out. It's going to be very unfortunate for one of them is going to be left out. And Talavera, the other thing is, from what I've heard that the Mexico coach Herrera is real soft on him too, so it could be that Talavera might definitely have a chance to make the World Cup team.
Wow, I mean, it sounds like he could be the future after maybe Ochoa is done. We'll see what happens, but I mean.
Yeah, so I'm watching the replay right now. They just had the replay of the ref didn't call the handball in the Kansas City match. Is that I think he was actually screened by the Christine. Which is why he didn't call. He probably didn't see it. You know, and if he didn't see it, the rule is if a ref didn't see it, then it didn't happen, right?
Exactly. That's the only excuse they have.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. You guys screened me. I can't call it if I don't see it.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. Obviously, next week, like we've said already, it's going to be crazy second legs. I do agree with you. I think Toluca is going to be very strong. I think they will upset the Earthquakes. But we'll see what happens. You never know. If they do pull an away goal, San Jose, but still, I'll agree with you about Toluca. I think they'll advance. But, the other two, Cruz Azul at home against Sporting Kansas City and Tijuana at home against the Galaxy, I think we're going to see some more fireworks.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be a real, they're going to be very entertaining games. And, Cruz Azul has been in this position before. I remember, teams, MLS teams going down with a 2-goal advantage and then just getting smoked. So, I'm not sure that's going to happen this time, but I do think that that them having that them playing at home, at least the Cruz Azul, I think that they'll be ready, and I think that they have you know, they certainly have the team, and of course they have the massive intangible of playing in Mexico City. I think it's gonna help them a lot. You know, for teams that have never experienced it before, I think it's gonna be real helpful.
All right. Well, listen, John. Thanks a lot for the time, and we'll definitely talk to you live next week on the second leg review of the quarterfinals.
All right, Daniel. Have a good night.
Bye bye.
John Jadu from Big Soccer. He covers Liga MX as well as the Mexican national team on Big Soccer, as he gives us his opinions about what happened with Toluca, Cruz Azul, and Club Tijuana against our MLS teams in the first leg of the quarterfinals of the 2013-14 CONCACAF Champions League. Now, for some of you that don't get Fox Sports 2 or Univision Deportes, hopefully you will find a clean signal on your computer to watch it. But once again, three of the four games will be on Fox Sports 2. Very surprised that they did not get to put any of the one or two of the games on Fox Soccer Plus. But that's what Fox Sports is going to do. We're going to see them going on Fox Sports 2. Tuesday night, Galaxy at Club Tijuana, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. And then on Wednesday, March 19th, you're going to see – well, let me just double-check the schedule again because I don't want to mislead anybody. Here's the schedule again. Second leg of the quarterfinals, excuse me, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Club Tijuana will be hosting Los Angeles Galaxy at the Estadio Caliente, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Wednesday, March 19th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. Club Toluca will be hosting the San Jose Earthquakes at Estadio Nemesio Díaz. And that will be on Univision Deportes. And then Wednesday night as well, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Pacific, Cruz Azul hosting Sporting Kansas City at the Estadio Azul. Fox Sports 2. Check your local listings again for the channel number. Get ready for some action in the CONCACAF Champions League. And just to reiterate what I'm saying here, I'm not downplaying the victories by the Galaxy or by Sporting Kansas City. They are huge. But let's not go overboard because everyone thinks these are massive wins. Once again, goal aggregate series against some tough, tough opponents. And when they get down to Mexico, depending on how bad the altitude is, we'll see how the boys will fare. But once again, two games, goal aggregate, score as many goals as you can. I'm not scared, a little weary about what's going to happen, but that doesn't mean that I'm scared. I believe that the Galaxy, Sporting Kansas City, they have a fair and a great shot at getting an upset victory down in Mexico. Remember, none of the MLS teams, American or Canadian, have earned victories on Mexican soil in the knockout stages. Seattle has on the road at Monterrey. FC Dallas did against Pumas on the road in the group stage. But in the knockout stages, quarters, the semis, even in the final, Real Salt Lake is the only club to pull out a draw on the road at Monterrey in the first leg. That's it. This is going to be huge. This is really going to be huge if either the Galaxy, Sporting Kansas City, maybe even the Earthquakes will surprise us. You never know. Maybe the Earthquakes will surprise us and they'll pull out a big upset. Because they need at least a goal to take the lead on aggregate, tie the away goals, and maybe get a second one to lead both. This is absolutely huge. And we need to make sure no one goes too high, no one goes too low. Remember, I'm with you guys. I want to see it happen. I want to see an MLS side win the CONCACAF Champions League and finally get into the FIFA Club World Cup tournament. But it's not going to happen unless there's victory on Mexican soil in the knockout stage. Excuse me. Yes, the knockout stage. That is when it's going to happen, the only time it's going to happen. And believe me, I would love to see it happen. And if it does happen, we will take a look and see what is coming in the semifinals, because I'm going to say this right now. If it's going to be two of the three MLS teams moving to the semifinals, it should be interesting. If all three are going, let me tell you something right now. If all three are going, it's an automatic in the final. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be great. I cannot wait. And once again, three of the four games you'll be able to watch on Fox Sports 2. San Jose at Club Toluca will be on Univision Deportes. So it's going to be exciting, but fun. This 2014 season here on the 40 Seasons Fire American Soccer Show is going to get better and better and better. That's for sure. And don't forget, everyone, this coming June 12th, the FIFA World Cup gets underway, and this show from June 12th till July 13th, I will cover every single day that's scheduled, World Cup days, World Cup games. You can listen to us as soon as every group stage game, every knockout game on that day has been played. Listen to us. Listen here. blogtalkradio.com/Feuersteinsfire. Join me this Monday as I will be doing the 2014 USL Pro preview show with those people that cover, support, as well as work for certain clubs in the USL Pro League. And then next Friday, second leg quarterfinal review show of the 2013-14 CONCACAF Champions League. I want to thank my guests for tonight. Mike Kuhn, down the byline. Adam Serrano, the LA Galaxy insider. Lisa Erickson of Quake Rally and Goal and Centerline Soccer. John Jagu from Big Soccer. Thank you all for this. And join them along with me same times next Friday as we review the second leg quarterfinal games of the CONCACAF Champions League 2013-14 edition. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. I thank you very much for listening to me tonight. Join me again this coming Monday. Once again, Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show on blogtalkradio.com/Feuerstein's Fire. Listen to me here. Get the links on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you very much. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you this coming Monday, folks. Bye-bye for now.